Oh my gosh, you guys, this is what a great morning. What a good time to start church off in the way that it's happening. Oh, this is such a good day, right? Yeah. Such a good day. And I want to just reiterate something that Nick just shared about, you know, all my tech nerds out there, you people that are just technologically inclined in so many ways. We could totally use your help in this house on so many different levels. There is just, the sky's the limit in terms of what we can do, and our heart is to not only up our game in here, but also up our outreach to the world through this technology of live streaming. And so if there's things that you would desire to be a part of in this way, I want to highly recommend that you talk to the gal working the camera today. That's Philia. And she is the one that oversees our tech ministries here at the church. And she is willing to get you involved, show you what to do, and get you right away hands-on doing ministry in this place. So I want to just invite you to do that today. After service, just go hang out by the cameras and see her there. And so with that, guys, I want to just share with you that in this season, we're in the midst of talking about God with us, right? We're talking about just different aspects of what that looks like. We're looking at the different ways that we can encounter the presence of God in different seasons in our lives. In this anchor verse of Matthew 1:23, I want to just read this to you this morning, and it says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means, everybody say it with me, God is with us. Yeah, God is with us. Last week, we talked about God in the valleys and on the mountaintops, right? We enjoy God on the mountaintops, and then we get to know him better when we are in the valleys. And this morning, I want to talk about experiencing God in the wilderness. Now, what is the wilderness? The wilderness is that metaphor for, you know, just the trials in life, the hardships, the wandering. You know what I'm talking about? That time of your life when you're just not quite sure what to do next. You may feel a little stuck. It's like when you have that job and you're going, man, do I want to go back to school? Well, if I go back to school, I might have to take out more, I might have to get into some more debt, but that debt could lend to, you know, that schooling could lend to a better job, which would help me to pay for things. I mean, or maybe it's that, you know, you just, do I continue to rent my place, or do I buy a house? Do I buy a house in this market? Whew, I don't know. Do I wait a little bit longer? There's this place of feeling stuck. What to do next? Do I keep dating this guy, or will he ever put a ring on my finger? Or do I just wait? Or do I move on? There's this place of limbo, this place of waiting, or just being stifled or trapped and feeling one way or another. And in this time, we may feel alone. We may feel lost, disoriented. We feel like nobody really understands what we're going through. And that is what the wilderness often is. The wilderness will happen oftentimes right after something great happened in life, right after the mountaintop experiences where we're leaving our areas of great and amazing things. And as soon as that starts to kind of wind down, we hit this wilderness spot. And I want to just share with you that Jesus, in his great moment in his life, he went into the wilderness right after he was baptized, where God had just acknowledge him and says, this is my son whom I love, who I am well pleased. The Bible says that immediately Jesus was swept away into the wilderness to be tempted. The wilderness is a tough place. The wilderness is a hard place. The wilderness is a place where you can feel confused or hurting, and you might even feel empty. But this morning, I want to tell you and talk about this idea of where the wilderness can be an amazing place to encounter the Lord. I want to pray one more time this morning for this time. God, we come to you today, and I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about how you are with us in every season in our lives. Lord, would you speak to our hearts today as we engage in this time with you? May we be transformed. May you change our hearts. May we be different than when we came in here. We love you, Lord, and I just pray for these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write down this phrase. And if you don't have a pen, that's okay. If you're not taking notes, that's okay. You can actually find the notes in the app. So you can go there too, and it's written in there. So you can actually have it with you if you're thinking about it. But I want you to remember this today, that your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. Now, I want to just talk to you about a guy in the Old Testament. His name is Elijah. And Elijah was a guy that had walked in some amazing, crazy, awesome stuff. And I want to just share with you about one of these moments as we're getting into it. But Elijah was talking with some prophets of Baal, and they were talking about whose God is the real God. And Elijah was going, hey, all right, well, let's just put our money where our mouth is. All you prophets of Baal, why don't you try to call on your God, and then after you're done, I'll call on the God of Israel. And so anyway, these prophets of Baal, they're starting to do this. They're chanting, they're doing all of these great crazy things, and they're crying out before God, before their God, and all of this stuff. And Elijah's sitting there, and he's saying some, you know, he's taunting them a little bit. He's like, well, maybe your God's not listening. Maybe he's just left and hasn't, you know, maybe he's just not around. Maybe he's relieving himself. It actually says that in the Bible. Elijah is like totally taunting these prophets. And they're doing all day, and nothing happens. And then Elijah comes up and he makes this altar. And in this season, there's 3 years of drought, and they're in the midst of this drought. And Elijah says, hey, I want you to bring some water, this precious, precious water, and I want you to pour it over this altar. And he digs a trench around the altar, and they pour all of this water all over this thing. And he says a simple prayer, God, reveal yourself. And then fire from heaven comes down, sucks up the altar, sucks up the water. There's nothing left. It's dry. And at that moment, the prophets of Baal, he's like, let's take these guys out. They get killed. Ahab, the king at the time, goes back to his wife, Jezebel, and he says to her, hey, crazy things happen. All the prophets of Baal have been killed. Elijah did it. And she sends this message to Elijah that says, by this time tomorrow, I will kill you. That was crazy. I want to just read to you in this moment Elijah's response. 1 Kings 19, 3 through 5 says this, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He just saw fire from heaven come down. He was at the top of a mountaintop experience. And all of a sudden, this lady, this queen comes up and says, I'm going to kill you. So fearing for his life, he ran. It says, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. We read these verses in this moment, and we just kind of go, oh, he just kind of ran off a little bit. Well, if you look at a map of where they're at, Mount Carmel, and he's running to Beersheba, this is a 100-mile journey. For those of you that are ultra-marathoners, Elijah is your kindred spirit. All right? I can't imagine what his servant was thinking. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I'm just running and running and running. 100 miles they ran. And he came to a broom bush. It's hard to say that fast, broom brush. Sat down under it and prayed that he might die. And he goes, I have had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. I have had enough. When we're in the wilderness, it can be a tough time. It can be a time where we are just at our wits' end. We're empty. We've had all these amazing experiences happen, and then something just changes the atmosphere, and we are done. It's the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's the moment that your teenagers have been poking and poking and poking and poking and poking, and then finally just go, "That's it! I'm done." Or work just never seems to stop being so relentless. You make up ground financially, and then the car breaks down. Or you have to have a root canal. Or your two-year-old takes a Tic Tac and shoves it up their nose. Some of you can relate to that. You just go, "Oh, I'm done. I'm done." And Elijah was at this place. You can handle a lot in your life, but there is just that one moment where things just push you over the edge. You might be making dinner for your family and spending just tons of time making this amazing meal. Your family comes in. Some of them eat it in like 30 seconds. Others of it just poke at it for a second, turning their nose up at what is on the plate, and then they all leave, and you're left with the mess. And you go, "I am done. I am not making one more meal for my family. This is it." We get to this point. Elijah had had so many of these moments in his life where he was just big things, amazing things, God-moving types of things were happening. He had stood up to the King Ahab and prophesied drought and for the consequences of their sin. 3 years of drought had gone on. Ahab was trying to find him. Elijah is run all over the place, hiding from Ahab. And during that time of running, he raises a young man from the dead. He stands down. I just shared with you the prophets of Baal, calls down fire, destroys the prophets. He asks God for rain, sees this small cloud the size of a fist in the sky, and it starts to grow and grow and grow. More rain, it washes and it just saturates the ground. All of this amazing stuff. Elijah has encountered God in all of his amazing things in his life, and in this one moment with a really angry woman, it all falls apart. It all falls apart. And when you look at Elijah, I can relate to this because not that I have encountered like all these amazing God things or experienced an angry woman. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is this moment where you feel exhausted. All the stuff that you're doing, the busyness, maybe during this season of Christmas, you've just been going, 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 pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, and you just feel this time where it just is all hitting at the same moment, and you are exhausted. And I see Elijah in this time going, "I'm just done." Now, I would also tend to argue with this that it's not just a matter of being tired physically, but I can see that Elijah has just been depleted spiritually. And in seasons of this exhaustion, there is a time where we need to not only get physical rest, but we also need spiritual replenishment. David understood this. I share with you a little bit about Psalm 23 before, where it says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Well, at the beginning of this psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." You see, God, in this moment, wasn't about preaching a sermon. He wasn't about to mock Elijah or to rebuke Elijah. He wasn't going to say to Elijah, "Where's your faith?" But God does something completely different in this moment with his servant. 19 verse 5 says this, and all at once, right after Elijah has said, "I am done, God, I am done." It says, all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Sometimes in our lives, the most spiritual thing we can do is rest. Some of the people that are here today, you need to hear that the most spiritual thing that you can do right now is rest. I know there's individuals watching online today that are in their homes, and I want to just encourage you to rest. The Bible talks about being still and know that He is God. We talked last week about digging a ditch. You know, when God calls us to dig the ditch, we dig the ditch and we allow Him to fill it. And there are times where after the ditch is dug, we rest. We wait upon the Lord, for He is the one that restores our soul. And it goes on in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and drank, strengthened by that food. That must be some amazing food, by the way, because here's what happens next. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and at the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I want to think about this question in this moment. Because we can read this passage of Scripture and we can think that God might be kind of challenging Elijah in this moment. What are you doing here, man? Why are you stuck in a cave? Why are you hiding here? We can look at God in this way and think, man, he's kind of being rough on Elijah. But as I read this, when I think about what Elijah has walked through, when he is in this place of being spent physically, spent emotionally and spiritually, I can see God calling out to the prophet and going, hey, how you doing? What are you doing here? When you have a good friend that's looking at how tired you are and says to you, hey man, you doing okay? How do you respond? Well, I could see that I would respond a lot like Elijah would respond in this moment. And this is where Elijah begins to see that his deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. He replied this, I've been very zealous before the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. I can see that Elijah, as God is saying, what are you doing here? The shoulders sink. The breath goes, the chin starts to quiver. And he goes, everything that I've done, it just feels like a loss. I'm living for you. I'm doing all this stuff. And I feel like it's all for nothing, God. Defeated. Alone. Are your shoulders drooped a little bit today? Are you walking in the wilderness? And this is where God began to move. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When the big things were going on, the wind is coming, tearing things apart, the Lord was not in the wind. When the earthquake came and rumbled the rocks, God was not in the earthquake. When the fire came through, God was not in the fire. God was not in the remarkable things. God was in the intimate, ordinary thing. God was in the whisper. It's in the whisper. When we're overwhelmed by stress, or we're anxious, It's hard to hear the whisper. Why is it so hard to hear? You know, we talk about the devil shouting so much, screaming in your ear. The doubt, the fear, the worry, the wind, all of these things are blowing in your ear and it's hard to hear. But why does God whisper in those moments? He whispers because he's right next to you. He whispers because he's close. He's saying, I love you. I'm not going to let you go through this alone. I've got you in my hands. Let's do this. You have nothing to fear. I'll give you the strength to get through it. I love you. Let's go. Let's go. He is with you. He is here. As a kid, growing up in Boulder, Boulder is a very windy place. I don't know what it is, something about the mountains and the updrafts of the plains. It's windy. And I remember growing up and being terrified when the wind would blow. We'd have a window cracked open and it would make noise and it would make scary noises and I'd freak out. Or even when the windows were shut, the pine needles would be blowing, the dead pine needles would blow against the windows and I'd freak out because the wind was so strong blowing at our house. And sometimes the house would creak and shake, you know, all of that stuff that the wind does. And at night I would be so scared that I'd get out of bed and I would go to my parents' room and I would get as close as I possibly could. I would jump into bed with them and I would just hold on. And I know and I would know and I would feel so safe when I was next to my parents. You know, when I had kids and they were scared and they would come into the bedroom and they would get as close as they could. And I would love snuggling my kids. And they felt safe, and I felt safe. When you're in the wilderness, and you're crying out, and you're scared, go before the Lord. Get as close as you can to him, and know that he is right there, and he's saying to you, I never left. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isn't that comforting to know? That when you are in the midst of the wilderness, when you are walking, feeling alone, God is there. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. As I finish with this, I want you to just remember this today. That when you are in the presence of God, his presence changes everything. I remember when I would be so scared of the wind, so scared of what was outside. And I had an active imagination, so that didn't help any when I was really scared. And I remember in those moments being so terrified, but I would go to my parents, and when I was with my parents, the fear left me. When we are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created the universe, when we are in his presence, that changes the atmosphere. When we are with the one who loved us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for you and for me, that changes things. When we are in the presence of the one who is sovereign, who knows all, the worry begins to disappear because we no longer have to be afraid of what's to come because we know and can trust that the Lord goes before us, that the Lord is with us. God's presence changes everything. So again, I'll read to you Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. So if you are in a season right now of walking the wilderness, be encouraged that the Lord never left. He's whispering, I love you. I'm with you. Let's go together. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, I think I can say for all of us that I'd rather be in the wilderness with you than on the mountain without you. Lord, I pray that in this season where we may find ourselves, God, if this has been speaking true to individuals who feel that they are in a place of a wilderness season in their life, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts and encourage them. Lord, if we know individuals that have walked away from you because it seems as if their wilderness season has just never ended, Lord, I pray that you would just minister to those people. You would give us words to share of encouragement. Lord, thank you so much for walking with us, for never leaving us. And Lord, I just am so thrilled in the fact that because you are so close, all you have to do is whisper. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you have for us. We love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.